For this year's report, when we take a look at the financial risks that we're facing this year, how are they different from the past?
The financial risk now in China can be discussed in two ways. Some parts of them are increasing, while some parts of them are declining. For example, the risk from the international side, spillover from other countries to China could be higher, but the risk on credit side could be lower. I think that's the main difference. You can also see some other difference. You can see the risk appetite is also increasing. And also you can see the liquidity condition is tightening. I think that's the key difference.
We know that deleveraging is a major task for the government this year, but what kind of challenging situation are we facing? Do you think it will be a blow for the corporations, especially for those small and medium-sized enterprises?
Leveraging and deleveraging will be a key topic for next couple of years. It will be unsustainable to continue to leverage. So the country is sure to take some measures to reduce the leverage, that is the deleveraging. In the process, I'm sure there will be some defaults going to taking place, especially SME you mentioned. More than that, even some SOE can also default. Actually, several SOE have defaulted already in paying back their bonds. So that's an inevitable process. So the key challenge is how to manage the process, how to maintain economic growth, maintain social stability while reducing the risk. I think that's a very delicate balance for the government.
And also, how difficult is it for the government to find a balance between the economic stimulus through spending and the need to reduce debt levels?
It's very difficult, very, very difficult. I think it's not only difficult for China, for any country, it's the same. For the U.S., for the European country, it's the same. The logic or the strategy many countries are taking, they are trying to diverge or change the leveraging in different sectors. For example, in the U.S., the leverage in household sector before financial crisis was quite high, and the leverage in the government sector was quite low. So after the financial crisis, the government took a lot of measures to reduce the leverage in household sector, but by increasing leverage of government sector. So that's a kind of shift of the structure of the leveraging. I think the same approach could be taking place in China. For example, there is a high leverage ratio in the corporate sector, right? So in order to reduce the leverage in corporate sector and related risk in the banking sector, you have to take the burden of the leverage in the corporate sector and banking sector to the government side. Perhaps the government can issue national debts to get capital injection to the banking system. I think that's the converge of the system. But in total debt of a country will be roughly stable. The difference could be the structure. But in the whole process, the government have to think about what's the best way in order to reduce the possible shock coming from the deleveraging, especially in a global context. If you have a very certain global environment, that's okay. But if you have a higher interest rate in the U.S., more pressure on capital outflow, that could be more challenging for a government to take this kind of measure, because the higher interest rate will increase the cost of the national debt. The interest rate of the national bond will be much higher, which will increase the burden of the government.
And also last month, Moody's Investor Service cut China's credit rating. What is your take on that? Do you think it's an exaggeration of China's debt problem?
I think Moody is doing something similar to many other global investors or rating agencies. Most of the approach they are taking are quite understandable. It's a widely taken approach, like a credit to GDP, the initiative of reform, the speed of reform is understandable and it makes sense in some way. However, in the case of China, there could be some more factors should be considered, like the assets of the government, I mean the sovereign assets. The government may have more resources than Moody or some other foreign investor expect. The assets in China could be huge because of the last several decades of SOE, planned economy. These kind of assets can be used to hedge the liability side. This could be one factor. Another factor could be the policy. The government, if they took some very decisive market-oriented reform measure, that could be useful to reduce the risk by increasing the confidence of investors. I think that could be two factors for the Moody to consider to better understand the situation in China. Yeah.
And also IMF has raised the expectation for Chinese economic growth this year again, but at the same time it warns about the need to reform. So firstly, what is behind the decision to raise the expectation for Chinese growth? And also secondly, in terms of the reforms, what are the major tasks laying ahead?
In the case of IMF, it's quite typical for IMF to revise GDP growth quite often, at least half a year. And it's quite typical not only for China, but also for the world, for many other countries, because the policy taken, the market environment is changing, right? So in the case of China, because the relatively stable economic growth in the last 1.5 years, especially the courage of the investment, is pushing ahead a little bit of the GDP growth rate of 0.1, 0.2. I think that's the basic logic. The worry of IMF is reform. The basic, the fundamental reason for the worry is it can increase the GDP growth rate for this year, but they are not so sure if this higher growth rate can be sustained in the next about 2 years, 3 more years. If you want to realize a higher growth rate in the next decade, you need some fundamental reform. I think that's the logic. You need to encourage investment, encourage the private sector, encourage capital inflow, etc. So in that case, IMF is proposing some reform, which has been proposed for a long time. And you, if you read their report, it's basically only a few couple of major reform measures, like market-oriented reform on exchange rate, on labor market, on house price property rights, property tax, hukou reform. This kind of reform has been discussed for a long time, but no implementation. So what they are trying to say, trying to push forward.